Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It isn't surprising that Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem. God's people, the nation of Israel, have ridden donkeys for centuries, even before Christ. Horses are big and expensive. Donkeys are smaller, eat less, don't need as much maintenance, and can carry quite a bit of cargo. They were valuable assets for the people of Israel for much of their history, so it's no surprise that Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem. He rides on a donkey to fulfill what the prophet Zechariah said in our Old Testament reading, that the king would come riding on a donkey. He would be humble, not proud. He would be among the people, not above. He would come to free the people in a way that would not include weapons of war. It's no surprise that Jesus rides a donkey on Palm Sunday. If it hadn't been for the prophecy of Zechariah, he might have even just walked. It's no surprise because if you know Jesus, you know that this is the way that he always conducted himself. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords spent his entire earthly life on the ground among the people he came to free. He has been humble and lowly since the day he was conceived in the womb of a nobody named Mary. He was born not in the palace of the king, but in the animal pen in a crowded city of distant relatives. Who knows, maybe there was even a donkey there when he was born. It's no surprise that Jesus rode a donkey on that day. He blended in with the crowd so well most of the time. He wasn't handsome like David. He wasn't tall like Saul. He wasn't strong like Samson. He wasn't rich like Solomon. He lived in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. He worked with his hands, not with servants. He wasn't here to show off, to become famous, or as Paul says, to find equality with God and grab it away from him, or to make it big in the big city. He was here to be obedient, to listen to the Father, and to seek and save the lost. It's also no surprise that people got it wrong and misunderstood. After all, people have been getting it wrong since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were confused and got it wrong when Satan said, "Did God really say?" Usually happened when somebody thought they could do a better job than God. It happened with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, and it seemed that all of God's chosen forebearers thought that they could do a better job than God could. Even Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, Rachel, Leah, Laban were misunderstanding what God was doing in growing their families and growing a nation and took it upon themselves to work it out. The whole book of Genesis is full of people who misunderstood. And that's just the first of all of the books of the Old Testament. Imagine how many others got it wrong in between. It's no surprise then, by the time Palm Sunday rolls around and Jesus is riding the donkey into Jerusalem, that a lot of people greeting him had very different ideas about what he was doing there. Even those closest to him were still confused. The words they spoke were right, but the meaning of the words was off. They shouted, "Hosanna, God saves!" Indeed, he does, but not in the way they expected. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Not just his name, but the Lord himself comes into their midst. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Yes, it is a blessing, but the kingdom Jesus brings isn't one that is marked off by geography or formed through policy or ruled from a throne in a palace. There aren't a lot of surprises for Palm Sunday. Even less for us who celebrate a couple of millennia later. The donkey, the palms, the cloaks on the road, the hosannas, it's all what we expect. It's all what we do year after year, time after time. And so there are no real surprises in these things. The surprises come over the next few days. Over the next few days, as Jesus opens up the true kingdom before their very eyes, that's when the surprises come. See, the donkey carried the burden of Jesus into the midst of the people he came to save. Jesus would then take the place of the donkey as he bears the burden of the people and their sin on the cross. Some of the earliest graffiti about Jesus was a picture of a cross with the head of a donkey. It was meant to be an insult, but it actually was speaking the truth. He would embody the hosannas and save the people from their sins. But he wouldn't deliver them from the Romans or from the Pharisees or the Herodians. The surprise comes when they proclaim him descended from their father David, but in reality, before David was born, Jesus was already present. In fact, before Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, Leah, Leah, and all the others through history, Jesus was already there. The surprise comes when Jesus, who lived in Nazareth, would die in Jerusalem. The one who worked with his hands would find them nailed to a wooden cross. The one who wasn't as tall as Saul would be lifted up higher than all the rest so that no one could say they couldn't see him. The one who wasn't as strong as Samson would carry his own cross and then would bear the weight of the sin of the entire creation. The surprise comes when the one who would blend in with the crowd would stand out on a hillside for everyone to see. The surprise comes when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born in Bethlehem, would take our place between the two criminals on Golgotha. The surprise comes when the kingdom built by the pursuit of power and dominance and control would meet the true kingdom built on mercy, grace, love, and peace. The kingdom built by power couldn't understand the kingdom built on truth. The surprise comes when those who waved palm branches and shouted Hosanna would go back to their normal lives once the festival was over, while the Son of God lay in a tomb. The surprise comes when the tomb in which he was laid was found empty 3 days after he died. The surprise comes when you hear that he did all of this for the whole cosmos, and yes, he did all of this for you and me. It's interesting that in our church year, at some point in time, Sunday, this Sunday, Palm Sunday, was converted over to the Passion Sunday. In fact, I've talked with Donna and with Judy, about the pyramids, because in the calendar it says they should be red for Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday was constructed so that you could have one Sunday where you told the entire Passion story, everything that starts on Palm Sunday, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, leading up to Easter, so that those who don't come to the midweek services wouldn't miss out. Because it became something where people didn't come to church for the midweek services. So they didn't get to hear what happens on Maundy, Thursday. They didn't get to happen what happened on Good Friday. They don't get to hear the whole story. And so Passion Sunday was created so that nobody would miss out. Well, I'm sorry to say, if you don't come on Thursday and Friday, some of y'all are going to miss out. It's important to hear the whole story. Because if you go from Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry, to Easter, where Jesus is risen, then how do you get there from here? There's a lot that happens in between. That's where all of the surprises are. That's where all of the change takes place. That's where Jesus reveals the kingdom to the littlest ones, our ears and our hearts. So if you don't come Thursday and don't come Friday, then Easter, well, doesn't really mean as much. Not that Easter doesn't mean as much because of what we do. I'm just saying, for those who are going to miss out, you're not going to know the whole story. That's why we do Palm Sunday. Because there's more than just this. There's more in the faith life of a believer of Jesus than showing up on Sundays to simply celebrate. There's more in between. You all live lives in between Sunday and Sunday. I don't stay here. You know how when you're growing up and you think your teacher lives at the school, and then you see him at the grocery store and go, wow, that's weird. I don't live here, right? I don't stay here in my alb and stole after you leave and I come back here and I stand and I wait for a week for y'all to show up again. It's not the way this works. It's not the way your lives work either. Because there's more to the story. There's more that happens in between Sunday and Sunday. Especially now, especially in this season, there's more that happens in between Sunday and Sunday. And you don't want to miss it. I know, schedules and all of that, it doesn't always work, and that's okay. I'm just saying, as Jesus rides in, and there are no surprises as to what he does, and for those who come every year, there's no surprise as to what Jesus does on Palm Sunday. He rides a donkey, they throw the things on the ground, everybody shouts, and then we go home. Well, some of them did. They missed out. They didn't hear the whole story. The surprises come down the road. The surprises come as Jesus unfolds the story. The surprises come as he sits at table with his disciples and takes what would have been a regular yearly celebration and changes it. The surprises come when the one who lives forever dies. That's when the surprises come. That's when the forgiveness comes. That's when the forgiveness for the whole world comes. You don't want to miss it. Because you're included in that forgiveness. You're included in that grace. And yes, every week we come to the table and it's a foretaste. It's a celebration of this feast that Christ started on that Thursday. We see it week in and week out. And yeah, there's not a lot of surprises, except when you eat and you drink, your sins are forgiven, for real. Not just by the words spoken, but the fact that your sins are washed away. As we read in Bible study, they are from the east is to the west, they are separated from you. From horizon to horizon, from the heavens to the earth, their sins are not remembered. They're not attached to you anymore. And that's because of Good Friday. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss that part of the story. It's an important part. So there aren't a lot of surprises. But there are. So I encourage you, come on Thursday. Come on Friday. See the surprises unfold. See the kingdom presented, laid before your very eyes and ears. See the gifts of the King given to his people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds, always keeping them in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. We turn in our bulletins to the prayers of the church. I invite you to rise as you're able as we pray together. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the Church of Christ that her faith would remain fixed upon his death for our salvation, and that his gospel would be proclaimed and lived out until he comes again in glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the world, that the Lord would uphold it in his order. For the church, that she would be defended from all enemies. For our homes, that God would bless parents and children in service toward each other and faith until life's end. And for the government, that God would grant all authorities health and wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a mind like Christ Jesus to spurn all worldly equality, that we would humble ourselves here and find his greater portion in the life of the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer in this world, especially today, for Betty, Luda, Mark, Paula, Don, Lloyd, Corrine, Dorothy, Lee, Donna, John, Truman, Alma, Barbara, Sherry, Mary, Vern, Inga, Jan, Amber, Julie, that they would not fear but fix their eyes on Jesus as they await the fullness of their salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For worthy reception of Christ's body and blood, that as he once entered Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so we may receive him according to his promises for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You may take this moment to share God's peace with